It's like American politics, like presidential elections, like the craziest fucking theater.
The theatrics.
Yeah.
The unintentional theatrics.
Sometimes I just feel like how much... It's like it's... I mean, it suits American spirit, though. You know what I mean?
Bro, I don't even know. To me, it's just us, bro. To me, it's just us.
No, it's like it's the biggest show in the world right now. And it's like with real stakes, with real... like ambitious people trying to get like to the top.
Yeah, the most powerful country in the world.
Yeah, it's also like very like, I don't know, it just suits America a lot, I feel. You know what I mean? From the perspective of it just like captures the spirit. It's like there's no other election in the world that's so captivating.
The drama,
bro. Yeah. So I guess we can start like
with so, yeah, should we just say fucking and start with that?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, that's just...
I'll just start off, I'll repeat what I just told you about my perception.
Yeah.
Of his state.
Yeah. You mean Biden, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can just start with describing your perception, I guess. That's...
Yeah. And then just go from there.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, it looks very likely to be Kamala.
Yeah.
I think the rally around her.
Yeah. No, but I mean, it's... I mean, also it's interesting who she chooses as a VP and...
yeah. And
just how it goes from there. And I mean, the most interesting question, I would say the most interesting question, what happens afterwards? Like, who is going to really accept the elections? Because the whole drama...
Are you talking about, yeah, after 2020? Yeah, all right, let's say something
like this. No, of course.
Let's say something like this. Yeah. Because these are juicy questions. Because yeah. Vance is an election denier too. So let's... you ready or do you want to...
No, I mean, we can just like, you know, play with this. I mean, because for me, it's like the most interesting... I mean, obviously now, like the stakes are so high for both parties.
Mm-hmm.
Like so high that I don't think anyone wants to accept like those elections now. You know what I mean? In a way?
I mean, I would like to think that Democrats aren't going to pull a Trump. Yeah. I mean, they're going to ring the alarm. But I mean, like, what he did in 2020, I don't see that. I mean, I remember seeing people who try to compare what Trump did in 2020 to what some Democrats said about the Russian interference in 2016. But it wasn't the same.
No,
the party wasn't unified. And it wasn't. But I think it's supposed to be scary from the Republican side. Because it's like, you know, you look at Pence, right? I said this to a few people. It's like, I don't think there's one thing I agree with Mike Pence on.
Yeah.
I really don't like Mike Pence, but he at least had the integrity when Trump asked him not to certify the election.
Yeah.
To certify it.
Yeah.
Now, it's Vance who, he's like openly like, I believe the election was stolen from Trump. Like, not even talking around it, not ducking the question like a lot of these Republicans. No, like, he's drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
So, I think it's very, very plausible that if Trump were to lose again, that he'd pull the card. Because he still hasn't given up talking about how 2020 was rigged. Like, that is very, very concerning. Very concerning. And then, you know, if he wins, because now the two-term limit is in the Constitution. It wasn't always. So I don't know how he would go about dealing with that. If he would just groom somebody or try to buck that. But, I mean, I mean, the Democrats definitely painted as existential for our democracy election, but, you know, some people would be like, oh, you're drinking the Democrat Kool-Aid, but I mean, I think you look at the facts, I think it could be.
Yeah.
For our, what's left of our democracy, because it's not a true democracy, all these ways, from the Electoral College to the voting, the barriers to voting for certain, you know, poor and brown and black people, but... You know, it's a democracy as much as...
It's too real competition, though.
Exactly. Comparatively to most, pretty much every other place in the world, even if it has significant flaws.
Yeah.
So...
Which also makes it so entertaining because, you know, it's you can say anything about, like, American system, how flawed it is, but, I mean, it's still, like, very competitive election, you know? You can see that no one can say, oh, you know, it's... Those elites, they went to like a back, like to like a back room and just like, you know, decided. No, I mean, that's like super competitive.
Yeah, and the final elections. The DNC did some fuck shit like with Bernie and the superdelegates, which is why they changed how that was structured. Yeah. I think they have less weight now. But like the elites did not want him winning in 2016 or 2020, but 2016, he came closer. So they kind of fucked with him.
Yeah.
So you have, but I get your overall point. That who becomes president is not directly made in a backroom deal.
No, no, no. It's like 100%. There's something there. It's something like, it's like a real competition, right?
Yeah. But we're at the point where, I mean, bro, like, I'll Google it, bro. The amount of Republicans who think 2020 was rigged, it's like, I want to say, like, over 60. Oh, wow. Republicans percentage who think 2020 was rigged.
I mean, that's, and this is why I wanted to ask you, right, about the whole...
69% of Republicans and Republican leaners say it was not legitimate. This is from 2023 CNN poll. But, bro, let's say it's fucking 40.
Yeah.
What the fuck? 33? 1 in 3?
Yeah. It's still a lot.
And, I mean, it's pretty clear because Trump obviously has a lot of support and he's open that it got stolen, so...
Yeah. Do you think it's, do you like feel the historical moment?
I do, definitely. I feel like some people, actually, no, because with the assassination and everything, I think a lot of people are aware. Because what I was going to say is, I think there are some people who are kind of sleepwalking into this.
Yeah.
Like, there are people, you know, I got a few friends, one in particular, where it's like, I can tell he kind of sees them as equals. This, which is what Lambert specifically was ramming against on The Last Class, which I think he's right about. It's like, dude, this shit is not normal.
Yeah.
Denying an election you clearly lost in the U.S., fucking having a vice president who is against abortion in case of rape?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like so it's, like, this shit is serious. The Voting Rights Act is already partly dismantled. I think for around a decade it has been, because a part of the Voting Rights Act is that the federal government has a right to, like, survey states with historic instances of race discrimination, so, like, especially the South, and, like, look at how they're gerrymandering things, and they got that power removed through the Supreme Court. So, like, now the Southern states have a little more leeway to, you know, put all the blacks in one district, dilute their voting power. So, I mean, I should have... No, but personally, yeah. Yeah. Like, like, no shit, bro. Mm-hmm. Nothing is inevitable. I'm a, because I think that's another thing, like, that people think, and I totally disagree. Like, oh, we're fucked. Oh, this is gonna definitely happen. But, like, I see parallels between the early 1930s and now.
In the U.S.
Yeah, I think you could also say in the world, because you have Marine Le Pen in France. They held the line for now, but they're not going nowhere. The national rally.
Yeah.
RFD is fucking out here.
Yeah.
Nigel Farage doesn't have a huge amount of support, but more than he's ever had. Italy, you know, that woman is, she's moderated her foreign policy, Meloni, but, like, the reporters in Italy are complaining about being, like, censored based on not being able to, like, like, they're, the fascists, I feel like, are making a comeback. People with fascist tendencies, because I know, like, that's a word that gets thrown around.
Yeah.
Fascism, genocide.
Yeah.
But, like Trump, I see fascist inclinations.
Yeah.
With his authoritarian lean, of course. And, like, with the 2025 shit, wanting to remove all these civil servants, like, change their classification so he can fire them. Of course, he's like, oh, I'm draining the swamp. But really, what it's really about is people who are personally loyal to him.
Yeah.
But then also, like, my understanding of one aspect of fascism is, like, you see the nation as one unitary body.
Yeah.
And if a group doesn't fit in your definition, they're not entitled to the protections of citizenship that they should be. So, like, you know, Nazi Germany, okay, you're not, you're Jewish, you're black, you're disabled.
What happens in Russia, right? I mean, this is, like, pretty much...
You see it in Russia, too. They're very, like, those are clear fascist leanings.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd say the whole, the government has become fascist. I don't think I'd say that. Because he needs too much depoliticization to stay in power.
Yeah.
But... you see it there.
But you definitely see it there with the type of ideal citizen that they try to portray. And everyone who doesn't fit this category, everyone who has, like, a different opinion, that's not ideal. That's not our, like, person.
Exactly. And Trump is, you know, referring to illegal immigrants as vermin. They're corrupting the blood of our nation. Like, yeah, you do have people of color in the Republican Party, like Tim Scott, I think, South Carolina senator. Vivek, you know, his crazy ass Indian. Yeah. But I mean, like,
substantially, if you look at their policies,
yeah,
it's you see hints of it.
Yeah,
you see hints of, you know, biggest deportation program in history is what he says.
Yeah,
you know, so I, yeah, like this is definitely like significant historical events.
Moment, yeah.
And I think that was another good point Lambert made about how Trump was restrained in many ways during his first presidency. Yeah. He's going to be less restrained at the very least now.
You mean especially with this program 2025? Or if he wins, he will have like the full capacity to do...
I mean like there's like specific instances, right? Like one I remember in particular, do you know the Mueller report? It was about the Russia interference.
Yeah, yeah.
And it did not claim a wrongdoing. It didn't press charges on him.
Yeah.
But it mentions at one point how there was not too much interference in the investigation, but only because certain people, like chief of staff, like he had a bunch of different people, because if you don't agree with him, he tells you to fuck off. But like yeah. something Rebus, these few other people, basically like he wanted to fire certain people in the State Department and this and that, yeah. but they didn't do it because it would be political suicide or crazy. Mm-hmm. But Lambert mentioned one where he wanted people to fire at the... at the protesters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I mean. So, like, people holding them, and even again, Pence.
Yeah.
In a very, maybe not in a huge way, but in one significant way with the election, where again, Vance, he's with that denial shit. And yeah. then also, I also think Lambert's a good teacher. He brings up important points. Another thing he said, and it's true, the party is his now. 12, yeah. I think 12 of the Republicans that voted for his second impeachment mm-hmm. for January 6th.
Okay.
Only two remain. Okay. And then his daughter-in-law is the co-chair of the RNC. And then I believe his son, Donald Trump Jr., is a major player in the party now. Broker, like, I couldn't explain to you the causal mechanisms. I read this in the Times. I know that makes a difference to you. But, like, basically they were saying he was, like, the main driver between Vance. Get him in there. Like, he has Trump's yeah. ear. And, you know, when he came in, like, McConnell, Graham, like, what did Graham say? If we nominate Trump, we'll get destroyed and we'll deserve it.
Uh-huh.
And then he bent the knee. And again, Lambert said, these motherfuckers, they make a decision.
Yeah.
Do I want to stand for some principles or do I want power?
Yeah.
Do I want power? Because he's disrespected a lot of these people, like including Musk.
Yeah.
As soon as like, he came begging to me for subsidies and this and that. And now Trump's endorsing him. But yeah, the party is behind him. And I think he's better prepared this time. His staff, I think, is more radical.
No, I mean, one thing, I think Lambert has made something he said along the lines that, I mean, he became like a very strategic politician.
He's become more so. He's become yeah. more. I wouldn't say he's like, he's become very strategic, but compared to in 2016.
Yeah.
For sure. Like with the abortion thing, he dances around it a little bit now.
And he also, even the way he speaks, the way he gives speeches is way much more. I mean, of course, but like when he became president, I mean, there's also like, we discussed in the class, it's like, no one expected this shit, you know?
Yeah, he didn't expect it. And also like with the January 26th thing, or January 6th on the, yeah. the debate, he tried to blame it on Pelosi.
Yeah.
Like, and they were like, oh, you said you'd take retribution. What do you mean by that? Because of yeah. course it's violent connotations, vindictive. And then he ducks it, you know, like he's become a more skilled politician comparatively.
Comparatively, yeah.
Yeah. Because this is the thing, he wasn't a very effective politician, I would say, in his first term. Because he had what, the Jobs and Something Act, which that was like corporate tax cuts.
Yeah.
And then he appointed Supreme Court justices, but that's kind of just like,
yeah,
you know, you pick them.
Yeah.
Like, unless they did some batshit crazy shit, like, you're probably going to get through. I mean, that shit's even more politicized now. Like, they get grilled in the hearing, but like, it's pretty rare for a justice not to get confirmed, except when Obama, you know.
Yeah.
Tried to put him, I forget his name. Garland.
Mm-hmm.
And McConnell was like, it's the last year of your term, you're a lame duck president and all. And then, of course, when it was Trump, you know, they let it slide through.
Yeah.
So it's, but Trump, yeah, like, the party is his, bro.
Yeah.
Like, he's single-handedly, like, if he endorses your opponent in a Republican primary, very high chance you're going to lose. Like, he's done it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So, But it's also like interesting because I mean I do not follow like American politics that closely.
Okay.
So I get like just snippets of information that, you know, I just followed like different people or whatever, podcasters, and you always have like the snippets for me because I stopped using like regular news resources.
Mm-hmm.
Just because like all main news that I read is just like it comes to me anyway. And most of the time I just like very dissatisfied with the bias. Mm-hmm. Any source provides, especially like Western sources, you know, like CNN.
CNN, I don't really like to. I don't like
even New York Times. You know, it's just, they all have like a very biased.
I feel like every news source has its biases and its blind spots.
Yeah,
but you just some are better than others, and you got to kind of put on like your critical.
Of thinking. Course, yeah.
Because like the Times, like the way they completely flipped on Biden, I was like, and then their lack of full contextualization about what's happening in Gaza. They've you know, they cover like the settler violence in the West Bank, but like
yeah.
the history, like I wish they would do more, but like I think they do a lot of good reports. Like that article I mentioned to you about Biden, like in his Delaware, whatever, house, and him, like, you know, if you think it's bullshit, you think it's bullshit, but his insight on how he's feeling, the betrayal,
yeah, yeah,
you know, what he's going through. I'm like, this is good fucking reporting to me.
I think you have a good source. So
yeah. I guess like, maybe you learned because maybe you peeps when I brought up the Times to him, he was like he kind of stopped listening when I was talking about the news holding Trump and them accountable. Like they'd be on some bullshit, but you find good shit in there. I have a New York Times subscription, but only because it's $4 to me because I'm a student. I got like a post deal after I graduated.
Yeah.
And then NPR I like. And then I like NPR. Deutsche Welle. Okay. Yeah, NPR is American. Yeah. And then I like Deutsche Welle. DW. You see them on the subway.
Yeah, of course I do. I mean, this is just I don't know, my whole conception of media. I mean, of course, like this kind of media changed so much. I used to follow like closely. I used to read New York Times, like The Economist, all those major outlets.
This is nice, but so expensive.
I know, but it's like after a while, I just realized what I got frustration. It's like I can understand. I don't need to read the article to see the point. You know, it's like there's such a bias.
Yeah.
They just look at like every news event from this kind of bias perspective. And I realized, huh, I mean, it's not something I'm interested in if I want to be kind of critical or critical thinker, you know, because it's like everything that they give to me, and especially it was also obvious in the Ukraine when like they kind of like, it's like a one-dimensional picture that they give to you. But I mean, it happened to me before Ukraine, so to speak. And now it's like, for me, it's interesting that, you know, whatever like news you get, it's like, it's very polarized, like obviously, right? So you have like this, because I wanted to ask you, a lot of people like bring this question of like just like very hard tension in American society, almost like kind of like a civil war vibes, like, you know.
Did you ask me this already, I think.
I mean, I ask you in like, you know, just like in a private conversation, obviously.
I think, like, I guess, like, nothing is impossible. Like, in that way, like, I won't rule it out. But I think I said this to you when you asked, because you did ask me this before. Yeah. What I'm way more concerned about is, like, an illiberal democracy like a Hungary, where you have elections, and on the outside, it's like, oh, I guess that kind of looks like democracy. But then you open the hood, and it's like a small group of dudes own all the media groups, which actually is becoming more and more true in the U.S. And, but, you know, they have these direct connections to the Orban.
Yeah.
So he, you know, you give me good coverage. I give you this contract, this government contract at a discount.
Yeah.
You know, fuck what's good for the people. We all make money. I get power.
Yeah.
You know, this open, you know, discrimination towards gays or LGBTQ community and so on. And then in the U.S. context, it would be more racialized because Hungary doesn't. But, like, that's, you know, like, again, like with the Voting Rights Act getting hollowed out. Like, that is democratic backsliding. That is a step towards what I'm talking about. So that to me, I am, and you know, these, you know, Republicans, including on the grassroots level, who are like true election deniers. Yeah. So if it doesn't go how they want, they'll say, fuck that. And then all the implications again, like abortion right is already fucked in the US and a lot of states. In my home state, it's 8 weeks. In reality, a lot of women don't know they're pregnant by a week. So it's basically an abortion ban.
Yeah.
And also, you know, you have the criminalization of it in a lot of states. So like, bro, you can read straight horror stories, bro. Yeah. A woman who's afraid she's having a miscarriage goes to the hospital. They tell her, we can't take you. No. Kid fucking dies. She goes in the bathroom and, you know, she dies as well.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, I guess the mifepristone, I think it is. I know that's what it is for an abortion, but I think my point is the med. And I didn't know this until I took a class in college. This is shit, you know, they should be teaching everybody, but that's the patriarchy. Is like the medication to treat a miscarriage is very similar, if not the same, in a lot of cases to what you do to treat to give to induce an abortion. Mm-hmm. So like technically, legally, you could get fucked. Yeah. In a state like Texas, South Carolina, where like they are on your ass, and like the like this is these are at least to me basic human rights, and I'm not a religious person, so
I mean,
if you're coming at me with that, like, oh, life starts at consumption, but also I can't take those people seriously when it's like, okay, you know, you care about the life, but then you're not gonna, you know, give more child tax credits. Yeah. You're not going to, you know, subsidize childcare, especially in the U.S. compared to Germany, for example. Like, you're going to tell me you care about the life, but once the kid's out there, you're not going to take steps that we could take if we had the political will and priority once they're alive. Yeah. Like, it tells me you don't, you're not saying it because you care about the life. You're doing it for, you know, whether it's appeal to your voters or you're just a misogynist. Yeah. But, like, that whole...
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
Yeah. I mean, do you think like the whole Republican, the whole Trump idea is just a pitch to like just a pitch to like this white, white America? Or it's like there is more to that? Or it's like the whole like, yeah, I would say like his conception of the US is just something like a white America? Or it's there's something more to that, so to speak?
Okay. I think like at the core, because again, like with the like the hate against like illegal immigrants and so on, corrupting the blood of the nation. He's had white nationals, like, you know, Steve Bannon.
Of course,
yeah. Like he was at the beginning with the chief of staff, of the administration. I think, I think brought, and then of course, like when he said there's bad people on both sides of Charlottesville, of course, like. His structural racism is not even on the radar. Like Biden, I wish he would do way more. And he voted for the 1994 crime bill when he said, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. Oh my God, the fucking arrogance.
Yeah.
But compared to Trump, like Trump is more overtly catering to those people. But at the same time, I'd say like at the margins, like I don't know if you've seen the rallies, they have fucking these local rappers come on. You know, like in the Bronx, they had these group of like two rappers. I don't even know. Like I don't think they're not big. Yeah. But and then Amber fucking Rose, you know. But you know, it says a lot about how they think, how the party in Trump and the party views black people, because it's like these fucking these rappers who like don't even really have any political ideology or agenda, but they think, oh, the blacks will love it when I show the guy with the chains on and the tattoos, like they'll love this. Or even I remember one comment where he's like, blacks love me because you know they see that I'm also being unjustly persecuted.
Yeah.
Like, oh my fucking God. And you know, it's one of the many things, bro, that sadly in all these decades hasn't changed much. Is I don't know if you've ever seen a clip of Malcolm X where he's like, where do you see for the white community them bringing on entertainers, athletes? To, I mean, there have been athletes who endorse candidates, but you know, bringing them on the stage.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not nearly to the same degree. And he's like, you know, when you have these jazz players or baseball players come up and endorse the Democrats, you know, these are pawns.
Yeah.
They're pawns. They are. Amber Rose, fucking these rappers who have names, I don't know, a few other people. Bro, they don't know shit about politics, bro. I put money, I ask them about almost any policy issue, and they'll start spewing bullshit or just look stupid. You know, so he's catering, because I've seen that, like, comparatively, like, some blacks and Hispanics are going to Trump.
Yeah.
Or at least they're leaving Biden. So, like, in that way, but it's, I guess my point is, it's not substantial.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, there's no substance in how he's catering to these people. But it shows how shallow-minded, it shows how what he thinks of us.
You mean?
When he thinks that bringing on some rapper with some bling and all that is going to catalyze black voters.
Yeah.
So I would say at the core, it is about, like, this white America. But, you know, he's using some pawns here and there to work at the margins.
Yeah, because for me the question is interesting. I mean, it's kind of getting obvious that the U.S. is moving into direction that it's like obviously non-white, from all perspective, like from
there's a statistic, and I mean, of course, they could be wrong, but the general idea says something. It's like it's projected by 2030, whites will be a minority.
Yeah, and I mean, in this sense, like maybe your comment regarding kind of like having a liberal democracy is interesting, because if anything, like this is like can be the project, because if they're really worried about that, if they're really worried about the US turning into non-white country and what can like really trying to preserve it as white,
yeah.
That's interesting. And also that's interesting in relation to kind of like this tension and the conflict that is there.
I think that's absolutely what's going on within a lot of the Republican Party. I think that sentiment is prevalent throughout the U.S. Because like you've heard about the white replacement theory.
No, I mean
it goes by different names. It's fucking here too, bro. Yeah. It's scary. The idea that political elites are intentionally allowing immigrants into the country because immigrants will always vote progressive. Like let's stick to the U.S. context.
Okay, They'll vote
Democrat, and also, you know, to commit a genocide of the. This is what they mean.
Yeah.
The racial mixing. Yeah. And like Tucker Carlson has like openly talked about this shit. He was the most watched man in America on Fox News up until he got fired.
But then it's like so interesting, man, because then you have like this conflict that goes into this kind of racial domain that is not really, you can't really solve this because it's like two groups of like hate each other, you know what I mean?
What do you mean? What, brown and black people and white people?
But just basically white Americans. Like versus non-white Americans, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how a lot of them feel. You know, you don't want to generalize all minorities because, like, I brought up in class one time, like some Cubans, Venezuelans are more receptive to the Republican Party because they a lot of Hispanics in general, but especially them because it's like some of them have more social or conservative social values,
mm-hmm.
and then also, you know, the Republicans still use the messaging of the far left agenda, socialism. Is that even communism going on with Bernie, AOC? You want that? And people who come from Cuba, from Venezuela, that resonates. You know, regardless of how you view the situation, because there's people who's like, I don't, like Cuba, for me, it's like, I fucked maybe with what Castro did in terms of getting rid of Batista, because he was like a capitalist shill before. But I mean, bro, I think you kind of came, you became what you wanted to destroy. I mean, you can't even criticize the government in a song. At the same time, the U.S. has sanctions on them that like totally fucks up their economy. I think it's inhumane. So like I'm just saying, because that's like a whole way. Because we'll see if you talk to like more progressive people, they're like, oh, actually Maduro this and this. Or, you know, well, it's really not Castro's fault or whatever. But regardless, like that's receptive.
Yeah.
But no, but broadly, yeah, I mean, this idea, like, you know, like W.E.B. Du Bois?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, like, he had this idea that, like, the U.S. has a divided proletariat, a white one, because he was a Marxist, a black one.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot true, because he was like, oh, you know, what they do is they give the whites a psychological wage, which I don't think Trump is thinking it through on an intellectual level like this, but in practice is what he does, where it's like, if you look at his policies, let's talk about, like, his base rule, white, poor, less educated people, normally poor. What did his policies do for them? Like specifically their material standard of living.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could argue these tariffs on China that he's talking about will, like, because, you know, the idea is, like, protect our industrial base.
Mm-hmm.
Not economists, but we're just talking. I'm sympathetic to that to an extent. Like, these tariffs, I mean, the Biden is also on it, too. Yeah, too. I think so they gave different levels on it, but it's like, okay, but also a lot of these jobs are already gone.
Yeah.
They're going to come back, or are they just going to go, like, are they really coming, like, the specific energy industries that were lost? And then, like, again, cutting the corporate tax, like, I don't know, maybe you have a different economic ideology than me, but to me, that's trickle-down economics, that shit doesn't work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, materially, I don't think he's doing anything for them, but until he talks to them, like, yeah, I'm protecting you from these rapists, these vermin that they're coming from. Yeah. Because immigration is, like, right up there. The shit he talks about, that's, like urban crime, immigration, removing the corrupt elites.
Yeah.
I fuck China with the terrorists. Like, that immigration is up there. And, you know, he's appealing to their sense of whiteness. Yeah. You know, their place, their social hierarchy in society. You know, like, you can define yourself by knowing that, like, it's like, have you ever heard the quote from Lyndon Johnson? This is the dude who fucking took the war on poverty and passed the Civil Rights Act. He was like, as long as you can convince the lowest white man that he's above the Negro, mm-hmm. he won't even notice when you're picking his pocket. As a matter of fact, he'll empty his pockets for you.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that idea is very still true. Up until now, he's not doing anything with them, but he's appealing to their, you know, their racial sense of self. So I mean, that shit is very, very significant.
But then it's just so interesting where the whole thing is kind of going to, you know, because if you have like this, as we see now, I guess it's almost like a fact, right? That like Republicans moving into this Trumpism direction, if you can call it this way.
The party moving towards Trump?
Yeah.
Like I said, bro, I think it's his
party. Yeah. So it's like the tension is, again, it's like what's interesting that the tension is only growing, right? It doesn't really, also what people call polarization, obviously, and just like this kind of like a growing tension, right? Because like whatever I get information, it's really just like, oh, you know, they trying to prevent Trump from winning. It's kind of very type of Republican vibes, white vibes, you know, like maybe you get it from
the deep state.
Yeah, we mainly get it from white podcasters, like, not gonna lie. Like,
they're trying to stop Trump from winning?
Kind of like
this. But who's they? Like, are they referencing are you talking about the Democrats? The media and everybody?
I just like all this like type of intellectual vibe that, you know, like they trying to elites, like democratic elites.
Everyone's plotting against Trump. Everyone.
Yeah.
And Trump is pushing through it. Yeah, that's the narrative. I'm the victim. Like, I'm the victim. I'm going to drain the swamp.
Yeah.
Even though this motherfucker grew up privileged as hell. You know, again, Lambert brought it up. I just don't know because I know sometimes you weren't there. He was tight with the Clintons. He was an open Democrat.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even, because of course, like, Trump is, like, very well known in the U.S. even before Iran. Like,
yeah,
everyone knows who he is. And, like, oh, I kind of caught me off guard. He's running with the Republicans? Oh, okay. And then he came on the escalator and talked about the immigrants are rapists, and that was kind of clear where he was going.
Yeah.
But, like, he political outsider, yes, in mm-hmm. a way. In a way. Because, again, if you're tight with the fucking Clintons, because he was, but then, you know, now he's not nearly the outsider he was, because, again, the party's his, bro.
Yeah.
The party's his. And now what you think is, like, I think that's pretty clearly a fact. What you think is going to happen after, I mean, even, just to, like, actually expand before I go to the next thing, is, like, Mitt Romney, you know, mm-hmm. yeah, lost to Obama. Like, and I don't fucking like Mitt Romney, but these are the motherfuckers who are the voice of reason in the party now. He's like, and I think he's not running after his term, and maybe he's already done, but he's like, this is not, I don't recognize this party anymore.
Yeah.
And I get another, I mean, I don't hate him as much as Pence, but, like, Romney, bro, like,
yeah.
I don't know what I would see eye to eye with him on. I guess, besides maybe to an extent, commitment to democracy. But, like, this guy is, like, an OG who sees it. McCain didn't want Trump at his funeral. McCain, he also ran against Obama and lost. But then, I think it's undisputable it's his party. The question is, you know, what's going to happen after, especially, like, if they win, you know, the train will just keep rolling for another 4 years. But if he loses, you know, is his party going to run with him again? Because he's old as hell. But then also it's like, what's the identity of the party after him? I would agree. I'm someone, you see other people say this, where I think it now has outgrown him to an extent as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Vance, people who would try to take up the mantle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they won't have his communication abilities, but
yeah.
Like, he's definitely started some shit, but yeah, this idea that he's an outsider, it's bullshit. At this point, it's bullshit. And even the beginning, you know, he was never really about ending corruption. It was about just, I want people around me who tell me what I want to hear.
The one thing I get a little bit pushed back, and like for me as like growing up in Russia, seeing Trump winning was actually like a sign of real democracy in a way. Like in the very,
because the elites definitely didn't want this.
But also because like I don't want to call him like, you know, after he's like outsider, quote unquote, but something that was completely impossible, like from perspective of American politics, someone who like was never a politician, like kind of like basically shot for the stars, like you know, like biggest position in politics, and winning,
and their party
against like kind of candidate that was like way much more better, like you know, from all perspectives, like,
way well known, and the Republican Party, like I said, didn't even want him at the beginning, but because of our open primary system,
yeah.
Like, and this can never happen in Germany.
Yeah, I mean, they still, like Democrats won the open, like the voters, right? They still won, like,
yeah,
the popular vote. It's another story.
But what I would say is that I don't see a contradiction between what you just said and I did. Like, I can understand you're seeing that, because it's like, again, like, the elites definitely didn't want this. Yeah. I mean, some people would disagree with you, but, like, just I'll go along with the point. But I think it can be true that the elites didn't want this. Mm. But at the same time, he's not really about getting rid of corruption. And
yeah, I understand this. You're right. Yeah, that's
So I would just say that I don't see the contradiction, but it's
it's just not a contradiction. I just, it's just kind of like, from my perspective, there was kind of big event that, I mean, obviously it changed like American politics, right? And that what we experience now. We had like pivotal elections in 2020.
Yeah, Muslim.
Now we have like another pivotal elections, and. Yeah, I mean, like, dude, I'm just very curious where it is going. I mean, I'm obviously missing, like, the whole perspective of the American side, because, like, the more I study American, right, America is, like, as a country, like, dude, it's, like, this country is complicated as hell, to be honest. It's not, like, people have, like, this conception that the U.S. is kind of, like, a simple country. It's not. It's really
complicated. I don't know which country really is simple, unless maybe you're talking about, like, small.
I mean, just the amount of power, influence, money, like everything, like culture, and also culturally very complicated foundation story.
And then we have the federalism.
Yeah, so federalism.
That's a whole other aspect in itself. You mean there's significantly different laws.
Yeah.
Depending on where you are, in a variety of ways. So, yeah.
And because, I mean, I feel most people, when they hear about the US and US politics, because they can miss this, they don't really have like this type of analysis. They don't have an analytical perspective.
Yeah, they didn't study about politics. Yeah.
But they the problem is they all have opinions about the US, because it's easy to have an opinion about the US.
Yeah,
like, oh, Russians, you ask any Russian, oh, they fucking gonna fail, they're gonna have revolution. Yeah. This is like, I mean, this is kind of like type of probably Putin feverish dreams, like, you know.
When the U.S. Revolution? That's what the leader of the Heritage Foundation said. He said it'll be another 1776. And as long as the far left doesn't try to stop us, it'll be bloodless.
Oh.
This is actually, we kind of got off a switch topic, but I just think it's important to note, because I don't think a lot of people realize this. So they're kind of like, There are empirical studies, bro, and just at least in the U.S. context. Yeah. Immigrants, including illegals, are less likely to commit crime. If you look at the rates of illegal of immigration and the crime rates, there's no correlation of anything. Like, if you look at the graph yourself, it's like broadly like a decline between the crime and the immigration rate. Yeah. And then also, if you think through the causal mechanisms, like, most of these people are very vulnerable people who travel through like these extremely dangerous treks. They have to go through the cartel, get exploited like a motherfucker to come here.
Yeah.
So this, I'm just saying, because going back to Trump, immigration's top, like at the top of his thing. What he's saying is bullshit. This goes back to just his lying thing. It's not true that they're bringing all this crime. It's not true at all. So it's...
I mean, yeah, it's obviously not something that is like factual, but something that he tries to build on to...
It resonates. That's why. It's like, what it's like is, do you know about the Willie Horton ad?
Yeah.
It's like very, very short. This is from... This is like in 89. This is George Bush Sr. running against, was it Dukakis was the Democrat? And it was this guy who got off, I forget the word. I forget how to speak English. Basically, they let him out of prison. I think he was in jail for murder. Rape? Murder? He let him out for the weekend, like, because that was his system. I think this is Massachusetts, because it was Dukakis' home state. And this was like, it was seen as very influential.
This is only 33 seconds. This is 1988.
Crime. Bush and Dukakis on crime. Bush supports the death penalty for first-degree murderers. Dukakis not only opposes the death penalty, he allowed first-degree murderers to have weekend passes from prison. One was Willie Horton, who murdered a boy in a robbery, stabbing him 19 times. Despite a life sentence, Horton received 10 weekend passes from prison. Horton fled, kidnapped a young couple, stabbing the man and repeatedly raping his girlfriend. Weekend prison passes. Dukakis on crime.
Right, so of course they have to pick the black motherfucker, right? Because it's the thing, like, I don't know if you saw, and it wasn't just at the DNC.
Yeah.
He's done it on multiple occasions, but they'll bring out these cases, or they'll bring out, like, the families
of, you know, let's say a daughter who was murdered by an illegal immigrant.
Yeah.
There's 45 million immigrants in the U.S.
Yeah.
I could take any kind of person. Like, being an asshole is an equal opportunity thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, anecdotally, like, that's why, you know, sometimes you criticize an argument when it's just anecdotal.
Yeah.
Like, this is not empirically backed, but they play on your fear.
Yeah.
They play on your fear. And then there's a racialized aspect to it because that's the world we live in.
Yeah.
So, like, I show you that ad because it's, I would say it's the same thinking behind it.
Yeah.
It's the soft on crime thing as well, because he talks about urban crime a lot. And when you think of urban crime, would they think about brown and black people in the ghettos?
Yeah.
Shooting, robbing, raping. He's not even speaking to the people who experience that violence the most, because most violence is done to the people who live in your proximity.
Yeah.
And in the segregated cities that we have, you'll see it if you, well, you probably won't want to go to rough areas where it's really noticeable, but like the U.S. is still very, the cities are still very segregated.
Yeah, so, that's what I heard.
So he's not even talking to the people who go through it. He's talking to the suburbs. Yeah. And he's talking to, you know, rural white America. So it's not even about fucking improving people's lives. It's not about that.
Yeah.
It's about playing off racial fears to get votes and get power.
Yeah.
That's the U.S., bro. I mean, you see it actually here, too. Because I was actually going back to white replacement theory. You see it here, too. Like, Orban, I saw a clip talking about Germany. He's like, you go to Germany, it doesn't smell like Germany anymore. It doesn't look like Germany. You know, it's completely different. Now, he doesn't say, because in 2015 they allowed over a million Arabs and so on.
Yeah.
But if you have a couple brain cells, you read between the lines and see.
Yeah. But then it's more difficult because, like, Germany, like eventually Germany... And I can feel it, like, living in Germany for 6 years. Like, Germany was never designed as a country for immigrants. Literally.
But
like,
I would say...
I mean, no, it was a close ethno... Like, monolithic ethnic identity. And then, of course, like, you know, things changed. The world has changed. But, like, the U.S. has always been the country that... Oh, you know, we're all about migration.
Yeah.
I mean...
I don't... Because I want to say two things first off. I don't know about enough about German history.
I mean,
is that really
true? I can tell you that I feel more American than German living here. You know what I mean?
Well, okay, that leads to my second thing, but it's still good. The first thing, I don't know. Is it true that they've always been monolithic? Like, maybe not widespread blacks and Arabs, but immigration in general?
I mean, most European countries have been ethno-monolithic, right? It's not like, it's not just Germany thing. But I feel like Germans, because they never had, like, colonies, you know, it's not like
France. They didn't have as many.
Yeah. But they were never experienced with this idea that people just coming to them and from other places in the world and just, like, living with them.
I can't push on that because I want to disagree with you, but I don't have the facts, so I'm not going to argue with you.
It's just from my personal experience, I mean... You know, it's just you can feel it. The more you live here, the more it's like country is just like not designed. It's like the whole cultural identity and cultural thing that is on top of the side that it connects people. It really kind of like tries to benefit from this idea of, oh, you know, you're German, you speak German. Good, let's speak German and let's have some fun together if you're German. If you're not German, they're just like, oh, it's like, they're just like having like a, like, and it's like they try to, it's like they try to force themselves into it. But it doesn't work.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost a myth that they buy it. But again, I can't say too much. But the second thing, I would agree that this is not a particularly welcoming country for immigrants. But
they try hard, you know. Like, they try hard to be that country.
I feel like some in this country do, but I think a lot push back on it. I think that's part of the reason you see the IFD. Like, I feel like a Scholes, and also their reasoning, because you probably know, like, they're lacking skilled labor.
Yeah, of course.
And also their population growth is, like, stagnant.
Yeah.
Like native, so they also need it from that perspective. Yeah. So like they need it, but I think a lot of it is just like they're just, a lot of them aren't particularly open people. But I think that's a fuck up on their part. I think they should just be more open. I understand it maybe not.
Yeah.
It won't happen. It's not so simple to make that happen in reality, but like, yo, be open minded to other cultures and ideas. Like, you know, because, oh, you're so civilized. I mean, I guess in a way they're better about certain things, but some ideas are still deeply ingrained because it's like, you know, they don't get taught anything about their colonial history. Like the genocide of the Herero in what is now Namibia, they don't get taught about it in school, bro.
Yeah.
They get taught about the genocide. But like, because the thing is that's important and remember is like this racial classification that culminated in this like
you know, the Slavs are beneath us, the Jews. Mm-hmm. A lot of that shit started with their classification of, you know, Africans and and the global South. But so I'm just saying, I mean, I think that's just a fuck up and an arrogance on their part.
Yeah.
Because I hate, you know, here in the U.S., oh, we're so, oh, and those are countries. Oh, and it's like, yeah, I'd rather live in the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, but we're fucking in complicit in crimes against humanity in Gaza. We have violence against our own people every day in our U.S., you know, still segregation going on, disenfranchising people, you know, mass shooters with racist ideologies, like, and you're going to lecture other people about civilization, a country that was built, I mean, now I'm talking about the U.S., but a country that was built on ethnic cleansing.
Yeah.
And you're going to lecture, you know, these immigrants about, you need to have our values.
But that's the whole kind of like paradox of the American.
You know, no, it's a contradiction. You know, and I think I see it in Europe too, you know, the fucking, you know, the French, oh, the Muslims and coming out. Like, yeah, there's been, I know about the terrorist attacks, like in 2016, the Bataclan, the drive-bys, the teacher who got beheaded after showing Muhammad in class, like.
Yeah.
But it's to paint all these people. The casual Islamophobia too, like J.D. Vance. I think it was at the RNC. It doesn't really matter where it was. But he had a speech where he's like, yeah, you know, we were worried about which, you know, first Muslim country will have nukes, you know, Iran, Pakistan. But now that Labour's winning in the UK, shit, it might be them.
Yeah.
Dude, what the fuck? Because think about all the assumptions that come with that.
Yeah.
So, okay, first you're going, Labour's going to be more friendly towards migration, which they are. Sunak and his fucking boats. If I was a Brit, I'd be pissed about how much money they spent on that shit.
Yeah.
But okay, and okay, let's say more Muslims come in, more Arab people. But oh, so they're all a hive mind, they all think the same, so they're all gonna want Sharia law because that's how simple they are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
all of these assumptions,
there's a lot of assumptions, right?
It's and of course, putting besides the fact that I would say people from every culture generally, you know, just want to get by, you know, it's just. It's bad, bro. It's really bad. And that shit, that's the vice president saying. And bro, I saw that clip on Twitter. It wasn't edited. I watched the full thing. That shit's not even making news, bro. Even in the bias, because I would say like CNBC, CNN are a little more liberally biased. I mean, I actually don't really pay attention to them. So maybe it was. But like New York Times, it's like some people would say that's liberally biased. I didn't see it in there.
Yeah.
That's like fucking blatant Islamophobia.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Trump is also about his Muslim. He wants to bring back the Muslim ban.
Well, that's big. I mean, that's definitely there. I mean,
it's not even questioned, bro.
No, it's not even questioned.
Broadly.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely there. But it's also, I mean, I'm not really sure, but statistically speaking, the U.S. would be the country with, like, lowest Muslim population right now.
As a percentage?
It's like, it's just because there's no border with, like, a Muslim
country. Yeah, what you have, and I think a lot of people, maybe because they just want to believe these racist lies or they just don't do their own research, it's not about reality, bro. Mm-hmm. It's not, especially if we're talking, like, the Trump campaign.
Yeah.
Because all politicians lie, and there's another thing maybe I mentioned in class, but just like, I like this term of this post-truth populist. Yeah. Where it's like, because like, there's always been liar politicians, right? And this actually, I got it from Vlad Vexler, where he's like, a liar politician will lie to you about a certain issue or a certain set of issues, like a Nixon, about like the war in Vietnam and like trying to wiretap the DNC. But it's like a post-truth politician operates where like, the line between truth and lies don't really matter. Like, that's how one operates, like, in every given moment. And that's how Trump operates, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually, of course, an interesting concept. Also something that Russian state promotes a lot. It's not like there is no... But I'm curious to what extent there is real capacity of an average human to understand reality from... post-reality, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like who does know objective truth?
And where there is an objective truth. Like because sometimes I feel like, especially nowadays, it's so hard. I mean, nowadays you can literally like, dude, I wouldn't even question whether like any written text is ChatGPT generated or not. I don't give a shit. I just assume it probably is. Who cares? Like, you know, it's already kind of like all fabrication.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying, but I still think you can tell the difference between like a Boris Johnson is another example he gave.
Mm-hmm.
A Boris, a Farage, a Trump.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. Do you think we should slide into it, or do you want to just keep flowing?
I'll just keep flowing, you know. Okay. You know. Now for me, it's interesting because, I mean, like the whole idea that there is a crisis of representative democracy, I mean, it's obviously not new. I remember it has been in the news since, I mean, at least early zeros. Like this idea, like you have people less participating, like people just less participate in politics. They less go to ballots. They say the same thing. Oh, you know, it doesn't really matter if we go or not. And like in many countries, you see this, right? In many countries, you see like a voter turnout in like 40%. Like in the US, it used to be like 40%.
We're pretty low.
It's like, imagine like half of the country is like, oh yeah, you have like the biggest elections in your country. I think, I don't care. I like, whatever. Like, you know, I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. We're also good at making it harder for people to vote. Harder for people. It's not a national holiday. Voter ID.
Yeah.
The disenfranchisement. But yeah, I mean, it's...
But I still would imagine a lot of people, just like regular people, even from like...
Yeah, who are not what I just said.
Yeah.
Yeah, who don't care. Yeah, I have friends. Friends. Like, especially like I'm more inclined to be around political people, obviously. But I have, you know, more than a few friends who like don't care. Like I'm trying to get them to vote and they're like, Or like people who I do think will vote, but they really don't keep up at all.
Yeah.
You know, like... But yeah, like... Especially it's unfortunate how a lot of people like in the ghettos of the US tend to vote less.
Yeah.
But so it's fucked. No, I'm really worried, I definitely am.
About the state of
The US, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, it's like it's something to worry about because I feel, dude, like whatever like people are saying, you know, I would definitely want to go on record saying it's better like for the US to rule the world than any other country.
I think
like just because it's such a, yeah, it's a system, it has flaws. Yes, the country, like, of course it's like, but like still there is something in the US that is way much more appealing to a regular person.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, like, no, I've thought that to myself. For example, like, you know, with the Ukraine thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather us having our influence there than Russia. Mm. I mean, you might disagree, but, like, in the context of, like, this war.
Yeah.
Like, them being in NATO and everything. Yeah, like, sometimes one empire is better than the other. I agree with that. Although, overall, like, that's something I'd only say in, like, a very specific context. Because overall, like, with Israel.
No, I mean, dude, I would rather Russia be in the European Union. Like, yeah. And, like, Ukraine, too. Like,
yeah. But also, you know, as the most powerful, richest country in the world, we're also the leader of global capitalism and all the supply chains that come with this. And of course, your ideology comes into play now. But, you know, like the cobalt mining in the Congo is clearly exploitative.
Yeah.
And like we're complicit in that. Although actually, I think the Chinese have the majority of the mines. But still, like there's a lot of ways we fuck over the world and I wish we would step back. But for me, it just depends. Like, I'm pro-Ukraine support, fuck Israel support.
Yeah.
You know, for me, you know, I think some people kind of view it all black or white. Oh, let's just fuck everything else. Let's just look inward. Especially in the context of the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Like, because don't get sidetracked. Like, putting morality aside, we failed. Like, putting aside morality, like, because Iraq, fuck Saddam. Like, I don't like Saddam Hussein. But from my perception of the situation, Iraq is worse off now than before 2003. Now, it seems like a failed state.
Yeah.
And then Afghanistan, obviously the Taliban just came back in power.
Yeah. Because
they were in there in the late 90s and obviously they're back. So, like, we failed. So, my point is, I think a lot of people, it's kind of almost like a childish thing where they're just like, they just want to pick up their ball and go home. They don't want to play no more.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck all. It's almost, they called it Vietnam syndrome after Vietnam.
I mean, also people call it like overstretching. Like, in a way, they just cannot really keep up with their ambition or something like this. I mean,
yeah, there's a lot of arrogance in that.
Yeah,
everyone thinks like we do, and so on and so forth. But
a lot, I mean, obviously, a lot is at stake. So it's definitely going to be very interesting to follow the elections.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be juicy as hell, bro.
Yeah,
I mean, there's supposed to be another debate, so
assuming it's, or whoever it is, I mean, I think it'll probably be Kamala, but like, regardless, like, are they going to show up to the second debate? I would fucking hope you better.
I'm just putting it,
to me, it's common sense. Mm-hmm. Especially like stepping in last minute, it's like, all right, bro, show yourself. Like, what do you, especially like if talking about Kamala, because she hasn't really had a big platform. Like, obviously, the vice presidency is always formally a ceremonial position, unless it's a tie in the Senate.
Yeah.
Then the vice president breaks a tiebreaker, so that it matters.
That, like, and yeah, yeah.
And but
yeah.
Like, generally, it's for purely ceremonial, but still, like, your opportunity to speak and stuff. And I feel like they don't give her a whole lot of positions. When I see her, I feel like she's kind of just like towing the Biden line, which is, you know, I guess. But like, I don't know. I'm curious to see if she really going to just keep the exact same agenda of Biden, or be, you know, personally, my politics more progressive, you know, because she was, the district attorney in San Francisco. She was in Cali, I think North Cali.
Yeah.
And people get on her because she was like convicting people for weed. Which is like, she was applying the laws, it was written, but it is kind of like, fuck you. Like, fuck you. Like, to me, she gives me like, definitely like establishment, almost Hillary Clinton vibes.
Okay.
So like, I don't like her particularly. Again, compared to Trump though, it's easy for me.
Yeah, easy. Obviously,
easy.
Yeah.
Easy. But that'll be interesting. But yeah, I mean, because I hope she fucking shred him, bro. I don't know about you, but sometimes like, I really think to myself, like, if I was in that debate, I'd fucking tear Trump's ass up.
Yeah.
I really think that to myself sometimes. But then, if I didn't get scared in the moment, overwhelmed with all the lights.
But then it comes to the point to what extent debate determines anything. Because yeah, there's always so many people who you try to convince with a debate. It's already kind of like people who kind of like have affection for Trump, they're going
to
vote Trump.
And with the polarization, Lambert said that. He was like, historically, it doesn't matter too much.
Yeah.
Or I think, actually, I don't know if he said historically or only now because of the polarization. But I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I think that was one of those situations where he was trying to cope a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I understand he clearly, like, he's kind of frustrated with the Biden.
Yeah.
The Biden cognitive decline, to me, that was pretty clear.
Yeah.
But he didn't really see it as big of a problem as others.
Yeah.
And I just told you to an extent I'd agree, but not the same way he does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At
definitely.
The end of the day, he said he should step down. But anyway, I think he's trying to cope. Because it's also like, well, just because it didn't matter in the past doesn't mean it can't matter now.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, hindsight 2020, but I think we can all say, like, the debate did matter this time around. No? Because
it's better definitely for Biden. Like, this, I mean,
yeah, because all this shit about, because I'd seen the memes forever and murmurs.
Yeah.
But the fucking media coming out after the debate, like, it was, it mattered this time.
Him it fucking did, up yeah. that
badly. So I think it matters at least a little bit. But I get your point, but you really tear somebody's ass up. Because Trump, bro, I mean, it's easy to say that when you ate on the stage, but I'm just like, motherfucker, you lying about this, 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 and the third.
Yeah.
Like, immigrate, like what I just said to you, you could put that in like a 30-second bite. Real shit, though, bro.
Yeah.
Like, call it for what it is, but.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's 3 months of very hard campaign. And I mean, everything can happen. But like, for me, the most interesting thing, of course, the whole election cycle. But it's also very interesting who wins the Senate, who wins the House. Definitely interesting whether if Trump can win with a full House and Senate. I doubt that.
Can Trump? What is it? Well, I think what I've been reading is that the Democrats, especially, where they won't be able to take back the House. Or they have the House.
They have the House, but they don't have the Senate. Yes.
Or no, it's the opposite. They have the Senate.
No, they have, like,
I think they have the Senate, but not the House. And they're worried that they can't take back the House, and maybe they'll lose the Senate because of Biden.
Okay.
I mean, let me double check.
Yeah.
We should fucking know that. But I'm pretty sure the Senate they have. Yeah, because Pelosi is the opposition. And she's the leader of the House. And then Chuck Schumer is the leader of the Senate.
Then they have the Senate, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's
also interesting, I mean, in this sense. But also interesting how they're going to accept, like, whoever loses is going to accept the loss. I mean, of course,
I think the Dems will accept it.
I mean, they will.
I think they'll be freaking the fuck out, as they should. And I guess, like, they did after 2016. But I think they really, if they have any sort of
savvy, which, I mean, these are politicians. Like, I'd be freaking the fuck out because our democracy might be at stake. And, of course, he's going to try to fuck with the Dems. That's, you're the opposition. You're the enemy. But in terms of, like, what Trump did or saying some story about his illegitimate, I guess anything's on the table. But, like, I'm not seeing that. You know, the most I saw was, like, and I even forget who was saying some murmurs about, like, Trump's not really legitimate because Russia helped him win. And I think that's wrong because I think they did try to help him win. I think he took assistance from them.
Mm-hmm.
They did interfere, but I don't think that was the main reason they won. They won at all. But I think it's important to understand that because when you think about that, it has the important question. Why does Russia, who don't fuck with us, why did they want Trump?
Yeah.
Like, that's an important question to ponder. Yeah. Even if you like him, which, I mean, you kind of already lost me, but you get my point. You should be pondering, whether or not you know Trump, you should be contemplating that. But he was not the main reason. And politicians who say that, that's fucking dumb. You're blinding yourself from the full issue. It's like when fucking Iran, when these protesters come out and it's like foreign interference. or Putin, right? When it comes against the war, foreign interference. That's literally what it is on a much smaller scale, but going back to what I was saying, like, I heard some say that, but the party wasn't pushing that for real as a whole.
And Russia wants cows. I mean, that's gonna, I can tell you that.
What, Russia what?
Wants cows in the US.
Oh, for sure, for sure. No.
And like, eventually, like, the dream of Russia is, like, the demise of the US. I mean, yeah, I mean, this
the,
is really...
the democratic decline, and we'll take advantage. You don't really believe in democracy. Democracy is bullshit, yeah. But would the Democrats scheme something? Yeah, because that Russian interference, in terms of, like, saying he's not a valid president, I'm not seeing anybody. Anybody with real power, I'm not seeing nobody saying that. And then what are they going to come up with? Like, unless, like, maybe they win the popular and the electoral comes again, but it's like, these are the rules. Like, you just want to change them now because, like, maybe you can say from here on out we want to change the electoral, like, really make it a priority. But then also, good luck with that while Trump's in office.
No.
Good luck getting, what is it, two-thirds of states to agree?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's the thing. Fuck the electoral college. That was a way for those white landowners to keep their shit in power because it disproportionately gives power to less populated, more rural areas, which in the U.S. context is more white, more conservative.
So. Yeah. So, the hell of a year ahead of us. Like, half of the year.
Yeah, bro. I mean, clearly he could win, and it's... it is scary, too, because the Democrats really don't seem to have much of a vision for the future.
But then coming back to the point that if the U.S. moves towards direction that... I mean, just demographically, it's known why. It's not like Republicans have a chance with this platform. You know what I mean? It's like you have...
Republicans?
Republicans have no chance.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're trying to fight this... Yeah, this demographic time. Because it's interesting, like...
So if the U.S. just, like, survives through 20s to 30s...
Yeah, the Republican Party will either have to significantly transform or it'll die out, yeah. But then... Yeah, I agree with that. But then it's like... Okay, well, if we're going to dismantle democratic institutions, well, then, problem solved.
Yeah, but then you
That's what
you
they're
have...
doing at the moment, because you already have the Electoral College. You know, you have these certain... And these things in place that give rural states more...
Yeah.
So, like, at the moment, they're holding the line.
But you still have checks and balances, so, I mean...
At the moment.
Yeah.
No, I agree with the overall point. They are running a race, because, I mean, there were some who kind of saw this coming, like George Bush Jr., he kind of, like, called it compassionate conservatism, not doing these open, like, racial ploys and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Substantially, I don't really think they were doing anything to really change, like, the racialized hierarchy of our country. But, you know, he also made it clear, because, you know, he speaks Spanish.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, I speak Spanish, you know what I'm saying? Mm. But, you know, as time went on, you know, he got caught up in the war.
Yeah.
That's it. And then also at Katrina, because I don't know what you really know. You know what Katrina is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, you know, he flew in a helicopter over. And then also, New Orleans is, like, really fucking black. Like, I think it's majority black.
Yeah.
And a lot of those people were, like, forced to stay there because they didn't maybe have the transportation to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And they were stuck there for, like, days and days, and the city was in chaos. And there was this perception, and, you know, I don't have a bunch of facts to give you, but I think it's true. Just my personal opinion. Like, it wasn't as much a priority to help these people out because it's a mostly black city.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't recite it all to you, but what is it? The not the EPA, that's an environmental association. FEMA, FEMA. They're like our disaster agency. Like they fucked some shit up over. I don't know. But like I just bring it up because like regardless of what you think actually went down, especially amongst minority voters, that was like, yeah, look at this motherfucker. You don't really give a fuck. That's where you seen Kanye West. You see that? Yeah. George Bush don't care about black people. That was an ad for Hurricane Katrina aid.
Damn, that's
crazy. That was the context. So like to give you an idea like how people were feeling.
Yeah.
I mean Kanye's Kanye, but like that's some shit like I talk about like with my dad. Like, yeah, you know, when he just flew in a helicopter over that bitch, and it's just like
that's crazy though. Know
what's new? So
yeah. Damn, like the US is a complicated country, man.
Like, yeah, bro, because it's like, you know, you have all these racial hierarchy and racist ploys, but it's like these people are part of the country. I mean, blacks, you know, is what people come to mind because of a variety of reasons. But, you know, whether you talk about the Native Americans, Hispanics, Asians, like all these different people who have created the country who are, I would say as an American as anybody else, you know. But the country can't fully accept itself for what it is. And one possible outcome is, you know, self-destruction because it's not able to accept that. But it's fucked, bro. It's really fucked.
No, I mean, for me, it's still interesting because if you think through institutions' perspective, the U.S. institutions, you know, they've been able to stand up for many centuries already, you know, in terms of perspective of like
it's the longest living constitution, right?
I mean, maybe like the U.K. doesn't have a constitution, but it has like a written constitution. U.K. is probably older, but same time perspective, also the same type of institutions. Which, you know,
we've got a lot of shit from the British, of course.
Yeah, which is interesting for me because I think the US definitely has a capacity to transform itself, and it showed times and times again in the past that it has the capacity to kind of like all institutions have the capacity to transform. You know, they don't stay the same. And of course, also you can also say that like every empire has an end. I also think it's true, but I don't really see the end of the US now.
I mean,
it has a lot of power.
We're definitely less powerful relatively compared to like say 1950. You know, just because, you know, after the World War, Europe's a short, like, I can again come up with the numbers, but like our percentage of world trade and GDP, because now China's the biggest trade partner.
Yeah.
And then also you see we lose some wars, again, putting morality aside. But you know, this was, and maybe you won't like it because it was totally Marxist inspired statement, but I thought it was interesting because I never saw it specifically in this way, but he just mentioned like an offhand comment where he's like, I think the US is starting to see that it has a contradiction, a capitalist contradiction, in terms of okay, you can be the superpower of the world, this capitalist world we live in, and have your strong strong industrial base, but you can't have both.
Be superpower.
You be the leading superpower of the world, but also have a strong industrial base at this point in time.
Yeah,
obviously that was true. Obviously, but like, you know, again, depending on how much you buy this, you know, capitalism as it goes on, late stage capitalism. I've never even read Marx. I've only seen excerpts and people citing and videos. But the point is, because you know, it's kind of like, these global capital of U.S. companies went abroad.
Yeah,
took the jobs away. So.
I still feel the U.S. generates kind of like the image for the future, and I cannot really, you know, I cannot really express it maybe like succinctly and just like try to really pin down what I try to say, but like the U.S. is still by far, like, I mean, Chinese also people try to be Americans in a way, you know what I mean? The U.S. Like projects the image of the world.
That's one of our biggest forms of soft power. Our culture, our ideals.
So, but it's also like the U.S. is the only country that kind of like tries to envision the world because wait, what? Do you watch like Chinese series? No. Does anyone watch Chinese series? Do you know Chinese stars? No one gives a shit about this country.
And like, they don't have many true friends.
No.
Russia's just like dependent on becoming increasingly dependent.
Yeah.
Vietnam doesn't fuck with them. India doesn't fuck with them. Japan doesn't. South Korea. Oh, North Korea.
Yeah.
Nice. I mean, they have, like, you know, strategic transactional relationships, like, in Africa, but true allies. Yeah. But on that note, like, we're still the most powerful country in the world,
for sure.
But, you know, talking about a vision for the future, like, I think the U.S. is in the best position to offer one. But right now, I don't think we do. And I don't see one anywhere else. I guess if you think liberal democracy or this neoliberal democracy that we're in is fine, okay, you don't need it.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like, okay, it's just not really working. And obviously, like, fuck these far-right fascist motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I'm not a communist. Not yet. I have some flirtations with socialism. Fuck what I personally think, like, on the high political level.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Biden, it's like, okay, we're going to try to adjust climate change more.
Yeah.
And, like, try to reinvigorate the industrial base. But, like, this new vision for the future.
Yeah.
I don't, like a new deal. Like a war on poverty. Even if those things didn't do everything they said they were. Like, they were visions for the future.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
Reaganomics even was. That's what I hate.
Yeah.
But even like that's, I would say, at least comparatively, the Republican Party is doing better, is they do have a vision for the future. I agree with what Lambert said when he's like, the strategy is not really clear, like the concrete strategy to achieve it.
Yeah.
I mean, at most you could say maybe erode the democratic institutions, but I don't think it's really there. But the vision where it's like, the corrupt elites have been fucking over real Americans, and we're going to get rid of them and make it great again before they all stepped in. It's a very simple vision, but I would say that's a vision.
Yeah.
Again, compared to what the Dems offer. Because for me, it's like I do mostly vote. I'll vote for Biden because it's like I just hate. I'm that much scared about Trump. It's not necessarily because I'm super excited. I mean, I was excited for certain things like student loan forgiveness.
Yeah.
And the Supreme Court struck that partially down.
Yeah.
I want more climate policy, but it's like, but even like fucking housing, bro. Build more houses. More houses. Or a world with more healthcare.
I mean, I feel far right kind of has a vision for the future, but I'm not really sure against like the vision for the world. You know what I mean? They have like this local understanding.
Well, it's very exclusive.
Exactly.
You say the least, bro.
Yeah. But like the US, I mean, for me, it still like embodies the vision for the future. And whatever you have to say, it's still the only country that generates this vision because no one else can. And of course, it also has to do with celebrities we follow, like with sports we follow.
The English language is more accessible also. That's another form of our soft power.
Yeah.
It's like the lingua franca.
No, I feel like, you know, it definitely would make an argument that like almost everyone in the world is kind of like a little bit American today. It's like whether you agree with it or not, but I feel myself a little bit American. Like, you know, like I definitely understand how it feels to be an American citizen. It's not like hard for me to understand.
Yeah, it's hard for me to understand, obviously, because like
I see
because our culture is just fucking everywhere, bro.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Because it's not everywhere. It's like in everyone's mind, so to speak. Right. It's like so widespread and so kind of pervasive. Like, you know, it's like. And it's hard, like, hey, like, whenever people try to say, like, people in Russia, no to the US, but, like, the only thing they can do is just, like, have a copy of, like, American culture locally, you know what I mean? They just, like, because there's no other vision for the future. I mean, eventually, Russia is still a capitalist country. It's still a democracy. Like, you're just trying to copy-paste, like, you know?
Yeah, that's a shame. That's what I feel like some of y'all have done. And I mean, not Putin.
Yeah.
The opposition.
There's no substantial. I mean, of course, maybe Iran isn't like democracy nor.
Iran?
Yeah. But like, who wants to follow Iran's vision of the future? Or like North Korea's vision for the future? I mean.
Or China.
Or even China's, right?
You know, China, Russia, no. And then France, Germany, England, they're just trying to like hold on to what they have.
Yeah.
They're trying to like. Especially the UK, bro, is like in decline, bro. You see like the child poverty rate going up and shit. Like they're really struggling. Especially if you don't live in London, but if you live in London, you need to make a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad for them.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I guess we
go into it? Alright, where are we gonna?
Yeah. No, I think like UK. I mean, UK is a small country, man. Come on, it's not a overall, you know, it's not that big of a country.
Yeah, now that they aren't exploiting like other countries, it's kind of, it's a little like different.
I mean, they still have like former colonies, like Canada and stuff. It's just still kind of like officially. I still don't understand. It's like the whole concept of like officially they're part of the UK.
Yeah, the king is their monarch. Dude, that, but this is like the thing, it's like that's so normalized because it's the West.
Yeah.
But if it was fucking Africa,
yeah.
Like, oh, these, why do they do that? Oh, simple-minded. Like, if like a Nigeria, yeah, and like a king, like, let's say, like, because, I mean, people just kind of shit on it now because of, like, their economic state, and you hear bad things in the media. But I'm just saying, like, if an African state was rich but had that, like, I feel like...
Yeah.
Or anywhere, it's just like, oh.
Yeah.
Dude, that shit is, I find that shit so fucking outdated.
Yeah.
I think that shit's ridiculous. Fuck the queen.
Yeah, I mean, fuck the queen.
And they like, and you know, they'd be like, oh, you know, it's really nice that she wasn't political, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, well, maybe she should have lifted a finger when her country was like slaughtering Kenyans during the Mau Mau Rebellion in the 50s. Because she was, I think, queen by then.
Yeah.
Because it was still a colony. And there was like a rebellion and they put it down brutally. It's like, oh, well, maybe you should have said something.
It's still weird, like, you have to kneel down to, like, a queen when you become, like, a prime minister. Like, what
the hell? Yeah, they have all their tradition. I remember just...
Yeah. Anyway, it's weird, yeah. But, I mean, it's still, like, a lot of at stake, right, as you said, in the U.S. And, I mean, I still have a lot of hope, to be honest. And, I would say hope and just belief in American institutions.
Yeah, for me, it's just kind of, what else can you do, bro? Like, besides have hope, like, give in to despair, what?
But it's also interesting. Like, I feel, I'm not sure whether it's true or not, but like, also in this semester, I've heard a lot of like, kind of like in some courses, like some information was presented to me in a way that the U.S. political system has always been that kind of crazy competitive environment. It has never been chill, so to speak. I mean, maybe now it's amplified with the media.
No, yeah, no, I would say that's true. Like, I mean, this is like a particularly like dramatic point, but like, think about like in the lead up to the Civil War. So the Civil War like starts in 1860. I don't know the fucking name. Let's say it's the 1850s. Cause there was like a 40-50 year span where like this was like an issue. Cause as we're expanding, it's like, is the new state gonna be a slave state or a free state? Like that's like from basically as soon as they started expanding. So you have the Kansas-Nebraska Act. And I forget the fucking other compromise. But anyway, the point.
Yeah.
There was this guy, Charles Sumner, he's a senator, and I believe he was like from Massachusetts. He was definitely from the Northeast, but he was like very like, yeah, fuck slavery, like even like a very progressive guy.
Yeah.
And another, he might have been a House member, whatever, he was part of Congress, a dude from the South. And he's like, because Sumner had like criticized the dude who was like a relative to him who was also in politics, or like, you know, a close whatever. He's like, yeah, you really disrespected him. He took out a cane and beat the shit out of him on the Senate floor. Yeah. Like, so badly, like, he could not be in the Senate for, like, months.
Yeah.
Like, he almost killed him.
Yeah.
this is, like, how contentious, and then it led to a fucking war.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, and then even after the Civil War, the Freedmen's Bureau, and then the lynchings going on in the South. I mean, it's like, I guess it's like, you know, what do you mean exactly by crazy? But, like, I don't know, shit's always been going on. It's just you got the country expanding, and
no, that's what I mean. It's never, it's like, because people talk a lot about this idea. Oh, you know, at some point in the past, America was united. It has never been united.
Yeah, I would say maybe like this is the most dramatic maybe since like the 60s. Yeah. If we're just looking like drama spectacle, again, we're not even like, how can you measure this? But like session, I mean, Obama getting elected was crazy because, like, again, this is anecdotal, but like, this is really how a lot of people think. Like, remember my dad telling me, and I remember when Obama got elected, I was 8, but like, I remember telling me, he was like, yeah, I never thought this would happen. Yeah. They would elect a black man, and it did, obviously, run, but like, get an idea, like, how are we feeling? Like, damn, like, that shit really, so that was a big thing, but like, consistent drama. Because, you know, like,
it's amplified, I feel like, with social media and.
I mean, I think that maybe plays a role, people get in their thought bubbles, but like, it's maybe since the 60s, but it would say like a lot of it's been dramatic. But again, since, I mean, 60 years is a decent amount of time. In the grand scheme, not much, but again, pure drama, spectacle. Yeah, because there's a sense of civility that's definitely gone now. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen the clips from when it was McCain, Obama. And McCain's having, like, an open town hall, so, like, the crowd. Mm-hmm. And he gives the mic to a woman, and she's like, first she's like, I don't like Obama, because he's a Muslim. And then, and he takes the mic. He's like, no, 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 no. Obama, you know, like, me and him, he's a decent man. We have significant differences on policy issues, but he's a decent man. And then he moved, he kept it moving. You would never see that. Yeah. Trump would be like, Trump probably be like, well, people, what is that for a question? Like, he wouldn't explicitly condone it, but he wouldn't check it. Yeah. He wouldn't tone it down. But like, wow, what is, there was actually a situation very similar that happened. Like, literally very similar. Where someone, I think, might have said something about Obama, and that was his reaction. That's why I just mimicked that. But,
yeah.
McCain at the time, it was like, ah, fuck McCain. But now it's like, bro, you would, for me, as a progressive person, it's like, bro, I wish you were around.
Yeah. I mean, I still have a sense of, maybe it's more like a belief and / hope expectation that it won't be that bad. Even if Trump is elected.
I mean, for me too, like, because yeah, I mean, with the candidate changing, it made me think a pick. I think Kamala
will win. Big drama, yeah.
But also just in general, like, you got to keep pushing. But I mean, you also have to be a realist. But I don't know, like, for me, you know, it's definitely, you know, there's another thing I talk about with my dad. Is like, because, you know, shit's been bad. But like, you know, like when Trump got elected, like, I remember, like, watching on the TV. Because I remember, like, because, you know, like, sometimes it goes late in the night because I had school the next day. Like, it wasn't, like, officially over, but it was, like, 99% over. Okay. Like, so, like, I went to bed, like, all right, he won. And I remember, like, damn. Like, I was 6, I was like, damn. But, all right, gotta keep moving. Because it's, like, well, he's not the first racist. He's particularly open about it. In our current time, he's pretty, but, like, bro. Like, I mean, with the super predators in the 90s, fucking Reagan was racist as hell, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, especially, like, as leaked recordings come out, you know, he was referring to, like, I forget which African country. He's like, oh, look at these monkeys up here. Yeah. And also his policies, it was clear. Like, it ain't nothing new. And then if you really put in a context, it's like, bro, there was fucking Jim Crow. There were slaves. And, of course, I haven't experienced that personally. But, like, in the bloodline, like, I have ancestors who were slaves.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, all right, you know, we push through that.
Yeah.
All right, we just got to keep it moving. You know, I think it's like a nuance because you don't want to get to the point where it's like, okay, well, everything's going to be fine, whatever. But like,
in terms of like, it's like a competition, right? It's also almost like you compete for the future in your own country. I mean,
But it's like, my point is just like, you know, you don't want to give in to despair. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, like there's. So we're like, that's what it's like.
If you're
not rich and white, I would say, like, this is what it's, because, you know, I grew up pretty privileged. Like, my dad makes a good amount of money.
Yeah.
Like, 6 figures roughly. So, like, I grew up, like, in a suburbs, like, gated community. My parents got divorced. My mom didn't have much money.
Yeah.
But it wasn't poverty. And also, it's different, you know, like, you live with a parent for, like, 3 or 4 days and then go back.
Yeah.
To, like, so, like, but you know, you still had like plenty of racist shit happen.
Yeah.
Actually, even more so because I was grew up in a mostly white area.
Yeah.
So like.
So yeah, I mean, the progress has been still there. So you know.
Yeah, some ways, but you know, we also progressed in some ways.
Yeah.
With abortion rights, with the Voting Rights Act getting dismantled, like it's like things to me like they don't inevitably just progress because time goes forward. You have to fight for it.
Yeah.
So like Trump, I mean, Trump getting elected was a step backwards, but him getting reelected would be a significant step backward.
Especially in this election, yeah.
So like you just gotta fight for it. So.
But with Biden stepping down, I guess I think Democrats definitely have always had the chance to win this election. It's just like the Biden thing was obviously too bad for, like, everyone realized it. It's like, it's not gonna work.
He became an electoral liability.
Yeah, I mean, he became a liability.
Even if you're someone who's like, it's not that bad, his mental.
No, it is.
But no, I'm saying, like, even if you are, like, that's pretty much what Lambert said. How I he's like, basically, that's how I interpreted what he said, that he doesn't really think it's that significant, but the perception is so real amongst not just the general public, but the party, that he needs to step down.
Yeah.
Because that's when he said he cannot be a good candidate. So it's like, that's where that shit was at.
Yeah.
That's where that shit was at. So, like,
so, yeah, I guess let's see how it goes. And we're happy to discuss with you the further developments.
Yeah, because it's going to be a lot of juice.
A lot of juice. And I mean, still, I for me, it still depicts American spirit, you know? Yeah, I'd rather have a super competitive election in the country that tries to rule the world than have no election at all. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. This is like, says a lot about the accountability. Yeah. See, Kamala's gonna step up to the plate because.
Yeah.
Oh, she tears Trump's ass up.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I hope so. Yeah. It's fucked. Yeah. Okay.
Contemplating the future.
I mean, that's one of the most interesting times. I mean, we didn't even discuss the whole thing with Trump and Ukraine. I think we can leave it for later.
You know? Yeah, because he's also not like super clear, but I think you can at least assume that it'll be like.
No, my prediction, nothing. I mean, my prediction, he probably will. Not decrease, but he kind of like keep the same flow of money to Ukraine and not going to change anything. So he won't have like a grandiose rhetoric.
So you think he's going to moderate? You think
he'll moderate? He's going to keep to the status quo. Because I feel like Trump is not the person who can really have a unilateral decision either to withdraw support for Ukraine or not. It's more like a party decision. There are like a lot of interest. There's a lot of arms sales.
But I mean, if he really wants to, because if they still have the house, so it's like all these things that it's contingent on. But let's say like they have the house, because the house creates laws. So like if he's really like fuck this Ukraine shit, he could stop it. Because like at least the way I was perceiving it, I saw Zelensky talk about it, because he seemed to perceive it the way I'm. It's like he was speaking English, but he's kind of like, you know what I'm assuming. He like I'm some paraphrasing, but like it's gonna be okay. Give up some land. And like we'll have to give up some land and push us to the table.
Yeah.
And it's like I think that's what it's gonna be, because he's criticized a lot, and then Vance is like totally fuck Ukraine.
Oh yeah, and Vance, then
the party, the like higher leadership in the party is still pro Ukraine support. So like a McConnell, a Graham, but those are senators.
Yeah, I mean.
So, like, if Trump, like, what I'm saying is, if Trump really did wants it to end, I think he could. What will he do? That is the question. Because Trump can be hard to predict. What will he do? I hope he moderates. I think he'll end up like pushing Ukraine to make a deal, like give up some land, sign some treaty, hopefully get into NATO. Because at least they get into NATO. I mean,
I can see him meeting Putin like one on one. Probably. Can try to meet Putin, Zelensky, him. I don't know whether it's gonna work or not, but my general feeling that it's gonna be like the whole thing is going to move into frozen conflict if Trump wins. Maybe with some official ceasefire, maybe not, but nothing gonna really change. Like this is my
frozen conflict, but with Russia having more land, because that's what you had since 2014, basically.
Yeah,
in the like Far East,
of
Ukraine. I mean, I guess if again the NATO, I mean, that's like, when will that happen?
Yeah. And then if it's frozen conflict, yeah, that's.
Because I already think I told you, like, I think to him it's just a break.
Yeah.
Towards going back at it again.
It can be, yeah. It can be.
Just keep trying. So I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, man. It was a pleasure having you.
Oh, good.
I think.
I mean, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. And see you. Next time.
Yeah, appreciate it. We were